Hey, ghoul friends, it's time for another episode of Horror and a Half, the podcast where every other week we get together to talk about horror and the horror inspired. I'm your host, Rose Keswicked.
And I'm your other host, Kelly Goulahan.
Hi, Kelly.
Hey, Rose.
What's up?
Not a whole lot. What's up with you?
I don't know, just acting like I've ever podcasted before.
Well, we had a slightly longer than usual break, so.
Yeah. Hooking up all the devices. The one device.
Some might say one too many.
Yeah, I mean, go back and listen to the first episodes of the podcast where I sounded like shit.
The microphones are good.
Yeah, they're good. It's the only device necessary. Trying to remember the intro. All good things to do. But yeah, we're a week late. We're on a new schedule. Get used to it.
We've jogged just slightly.
Yep.
Hope you didn't have every other Friday planned out based solely around our release, because now it's going to be the other one. Sorry.
Yeah, I hope you didn't have it as a recurring appointment on your calendar that now you have to fix, like I did.
Well,
That I still do, actually. I still have to fix it.
I mean, you showed up. There wasn't a problem.
Yes.
You
Yes,
texted me about recording. I didn't have to remind you.
it's
So,
more so I remember to leave work.
I mean, that's important.
Yes. Like, I cannot stay here indefinitely. I have to record a podcast. Don't ask me to do anything every other Monday night. I have to record a podcast.
That's right. Happy to be an out for you.
Woo-hoo! What's up? What's up? What's up?
Not much, not much, not much. Recovering.
Yeah, it's been a whole, like, 3 days since we've seen each other.
That's true.
Yeah. We were in California.
We were.
Now we're back.
Now we're back in Florida.
My skin is almost recovered.
Same. Someone at work today was like, "How was your trip?" I'm like, "It was good." And I'm like, "I did start drying out about halfway through." And she's like, "Oh no, that fast?" I'm like, "Yeah."
I see why people are psychotic about moisturizing now. They're like, you
Yeah.
don't moisturize? I'm like, no, I live
No.
where it's 100% humidity.
I live in the moist.
Yeah. I'm moistened by my environment.
And thank
Not
you, environment, for doing that.
so in Southern California.
No. No. And it was like the tiniest bit like rainy and cloudy the first 2 days, so it took a little extra time, I think, to dry proper. Yeah, couldn't live there. Not wet enough.
Too crusty.
Too crusty.
Yeah, since getting back, or I guess during or before, have you done anything horror inspired?
Well, you know we did one thing
Yes,
during.
we did one thing during. I don't know if you were up to secret other horror things while we were gone.
No, I was reading a romance novel, not a horror book.
I made you go to a real cemetery. No
Yeah,
ghosts.
no ghosts. Jimmy Stewart's grave. Steep ass hills.
He's on top of the hill.
He's yes.
He's a shining beacon on a hill next to a statue of some guy with a bow and arrow.
Yeah. And it's like I'd like to see it, but I don't want to walk up this steep ass
But
hill.
you did it.
Yeah, I saw him. I did not
Oh,
investigate bow and
no.
arrow.
Yeah.
It would be so embarrassing to roll down all those graves.
It
The
would.
signs that are just like, be careful. It's like, yeah, thanks.
I don't know how they bury anybody there.
No! It's like a 45-degree angle.
For $17,000.
Yeah, they punch you into the earth with a gun, like a
Get
staple gun.
buried upright.
Slot you in. I watched Prom Night.
Okay.
The original Prom Night, and this was a while ago. But don't worry, it's a slasher movie from the early 80s, which means
you loved it and you want to tell us about it in detail. Loving detail.
No, boring. So, Prom Night does have two people you've heard of in it. Okay. Got that going for it. It's got Jamie Lee Curtis.
I've heard of her.
As the lead, and it has Leslie Nielsen as her dad.
I've heard of him.
He's not in it that much, but you're like, damn, that's Leslie Nielsen. The setup of Prom Night is a bunch of children are playing evil hide and seek at an abandoned building.
I thought the setup for Prom Night would be prom.
Wait, hold on. It's going to take me half an hour to get there in real movie time. That's not quite true, but they're playing evil hide and seek, which is just hide and seek, except it's like the variant of hide and seek where if you get found, you also start looking for whoever is still hiding, which is not what makes it evil. What makes it evil is that you also have to chant the killers are coming as you do it, like over and over again. There are like four kids playing, having a normal time. A set of three siblings wanders up. Two of them are like, huh, there's our friends playing in the building. The youngest is like, I will go play evil hide and seek, which she doesn't really want to. And she gets bullied by these other children. And they say the killers are coming at her till she backs out of a window and dies. Hmm. Like, falls onto some glass, perishes.
Before you go on.
Yes.
I have an important childhood game question for
By
you.
By all means, sure.
Did you ever play Dead Turtle?
You're gonna have to tell me what that is. If you lay on your back and pretend to be a dead turtle?
Yeah.
No. No. Did you play Dead Turtle?
Yeah.
Who with?
This was a game that we played in elementary school PE.
Oh, okay.
It was called Dead Turtle. And it was like a big game of group tag.
Okay.
Where there were like several catchers. I can't remember what they were.
Live
like,
turtles.
They were like birds or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they would run around and try and catch you. But if they got close to you and you threw yourself on the ground with your legs and arms up in the air and yelled Dead Turtle, they could tag you and they had to go get somebody else.
I've never even heard of this tag variant or anything like
that's
it.
That's why I'm asking. I want to know if it was a fever dream invented by the Madeleine Elementary.
Yeah, that's a your PE teacher special. No.
Is what the hell?
No. No, I mean, there's like tag with the safe zones, tag, you know, you can't.
Yeah, you make your own safe zone by becoming a dead turtle.
By being a dead turtle. Thought you told me when you got tagged, you'd have to lay on your back like you died. But no, the dead part's the good one.
I think if they catch you, maybe you have to do that anyway. I don't remember, but I just remember you were supposed to fling yourself on the ground. Be a dead turtle.
Yeah, I don't know if any of my PE teachers ever encouraged us to throw ourselves on the ground violently. Competitively. Okay. No, they're just like, here's a soccer ball. Go nuts.
Carry All on, right. Prom Night.
Prom Night. This girl's a real dead turtle because she dies.
Yeah.
The four children who just bullied her out of a window, some of them immediately have regrets. Some less so, but they agree that they're just not going to tell anybody what happened. That girl fell out a window all by herself. They can't go to jail. They're 12. They're like, we're going to ruin our lives. We're not doing that. Sworn to secrecy. Jump to the future.
Okay.
Prom time.
The present day.
Yes, much like Friday the 13th, the present day. They're seniors in high school. Jamie Lee Curtis is one of the surviving siblings. There were two girls and a boy. One of the girls died. She is the girl that is left. Her and her brother are visiting their grave. Her grave, I guess, not their grave. With their dad, Leslie Nielsen, and their sad-ass mom. But we can't dwell on it too long, because it's prom today. And Jamie Lee Curtis is prom queen.
Okay.
And she is still friends with the four children who have also grown up, or also now seniors, who bullied her younger sister out of a window, unbeknownst to her. The boy in that group was three girls and a boy. He's prom king. He's maybe dating the person who swore them all to secrecy 10 years ago or whatever the fuck. But he's also kind of dating Jamie Lee Curtis. The person who swore them all to secrecy is the most, like, grown-ass soap opera actress lady you've ever seen playing a teenager. She's an adult woman with adult problems, aka a senior in high school. And the four of them start to get scary notes. They get ripped out pictures from a yearbook. They get phone calls where someone's like, it's prom tonight.
Oh no, not
prom. I know what you did.
This is the worst promposal.
And they're all like trying to talk to each other about it, but trying not to, because like, well, we swore never to talk about it, including now that our lives are being threatened. This goes on, this movie's like 90 minutes long. This goes on, I feel like, for about an hour. No one gets slashed until like the last half hour of the movie.
Okay.
At prom, the guy who is doing the calling, he's accurate. He's like, you're gonna die at prom, and he waits. And unlike a slasher we're going to talk about here shortly, he doesn't kill random other people. He's a guy with vengeance on his mind, and he knows who he's after. And he kills three of the four people. None of the kills were that, like, interesting, I don't think. It's just a lot of, like, getting your throat cut at school as you've wandered away from a prom. He does chase the evil grown woman, like, into the shop class and then out of it. And it feels like the final chase, except she definitely dies at the end because she's not the final girl, because Jamie Lee Curtis is. But Jamie Lee Curtis is never at any point in any real danger because the murderer is her brother, who is, like, found out that these four kids killed his sister and then waited a really long time to get vengeance. But hey, it's totally straightforward. I found out what you did. Fuck you. You're dying on an anniversary.
I'm gonna ruin your prom.
Yeah. You don't get to go to college. In the end, he is killed. Someone's head gets, like, chopped off on the prom dance floor. Most of the kills don't happen there, but a head definitely rolls out onto, like, the weirdest thing about this movie is the prom itself that has, like, a disco breakdown in it that Jamie Lee Curtis and the manslaughter boy, there are two murder boys in this, the manslaughter boy, have to do, like, a choreographed disco dance as king and queen, because they were voted king and queen in advance, and there are, like, multiple scenes of them, like, going and having to practice this dance, and then we see them do the dance. It really eats up a lot of time. It's a dance. Everyone claps. But yes, her brother gets killed. She realizes it's him, and she's like, oh, shit. The manslaughter boy does survive. Good for him, I guess. And the movie is over. Prom night. Not great. Not great. I said not very nice things about My Bloody Valentine. I take them back. I'm so sorry, My Bloody Valentine. You are one of the better ones of these I've seen that isn't named Halloween. Apologies. But that's all I did. What about you?
I watched a movie called Blood of Dracula.
Cool.
It's real short. It's 69 minutes long.
Nice. For multiple reasons.
Apparently it was part of a double bill with, like, I Was a Teenage Frankenstein.
Okay.
This is the girl version. It's about a young woman named Nancy whose mother died and who is being dumped by her father and new stepmother at a boarding school.
Okay.
all of the girls there are kind of, well, all the girls that she meets are kind of rebellious. They're in a, like, a midnight society together. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, we'll be your friend and we'll take care of you and whatever, but only if you're part of our secret society. And so we got to, like, jump you in next Friday midnight or whatever. And they all date the same boy because there's okay. only one boy because it's a girls' school.
Got to share this boy.
They share him. Yes, they pass him around. But the Nancy has a boyfriend away from school, and so she's sort of disdainful of all this nonsense, and she's, you know, she's upset. She's got a reason to be. But there's a teacher at the school who has an evil amulet.
Okay.
And who wants to do experiments on one of the girls. Well, she wants to do an experiment on one of the girls because her theory is that the human body, the human being,
okay.
has within it mm-hmm. like immense destructive capacity. Like if you okay. just channel and tap into the right part of, you know, the human essence, it's more, you know, explosive, more destructive than the atomic bomb. And if we can tap into this, then we'll stop, like, all this research on weapons. Like,
we'll just start blowing up people.
Scientists can turn their efforts away from making a bigger and better atomic bomb to, like, other better stuff, because we'll know that each of us is actually has more destructive potential than an atomic bomb.
And she has, like, written, starts just grinding up people.
She's, like, written a thesis on this, and it keeps getting rejected. And she's like, it's because I'm a woman. All these men just want to make bombs. They don't understand that humans are bombs. But she's got this, like, teacher's pet student that's working with her. And is like, you're so smart. You can do your experiments on me. And she's like, no, I need somebody, like, with more of a spark to them. More volatile. More whatever. And I'm like, I thought you said every person had this S. Anyway. But you know who's got the spark?
Nancy?
That Nancy girl. She's damn. A real hellion. Like, no, she's just, like, just got here and is sad because her mom died and her dad got remarried within 6 weeks.
Oh.
And then dropped her at a boarding school.
Did he kill the mom?
It's not that kind of movie. It's not could double be. It's not Double Indemnity.
6 weeks is so fast.
Her dad never even shows back up after the murders start happening.
I'm not gonna go get my daughter. I don't care that much.
No, I bet she's not the one doing the murders anyway.
And she won't get murdered, it's fine.
But yeah, so she brings Nancy in. She's like, you want to do good at this school. You want to blah, blah. I see something special in you, blah, blah. I'm doing this experiment. Have you ever been hypnotized before? Look at this amulet. And she hypnotizes her. She's like, at night, you will become something more powerful and destructive and blah, blah. And the Midnight Society is out doing, like, Midnight Society things, and one of the girls gets killed, attacked and killed, and you, like, don't see who it is. You just see, like, shadow and scream. But, hey, there's been a murder. Lock the doors. There's been a murder. So everything is, you know, up in arms. The police are there investigating. The headmistresses are so upset that, like, this is going to bring a bad name on the school. We're not going to get funding next year. This is horrible. We let somebody get murdered. That was very uncool of us. And, of course, the person who was murdered has two puncture marks mm-hmm. in their neck, and mm-hmm. they've been drained of blood.
Okay.
And so there's, like, a team of three cops who show up, detectives mm-hmm. who show up, and one of them is like, hey, has anybody considered the fact that this might be something supernatural. And the other older cops are like, shut up, 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 shut up. You want it to be taken seriously? You want to be taken seriously as a cop? You can't say that shit. Don't say that to anyone. Don't say that to any of the parents. Don't say that to any of the teachers. Don't say that to any of the students. Just don't fucking say that.
But she was pretty clearly killed by a vampire.
But they're investigating, they're sort of getting nowhere. They think, like, they talk to a janitor, they talk to some boys, they don't think it could be any of the students, blah blah. And then it's Halloween.
Okay.
And still, like, none of the parents have come and checked on whether their daughters are in danger or whatever. It's 1959. I don't know. We can't send a telegram. But
you good? Stop.
They're like the school Halloween activities were shut down. So, but we as the Midnight Society are going to still do a Halloween thing. We're going to do a Halloween scavenger hunt. I, the leader of this group of the sorority, have buried 6 objects in the cemetery, and I need you to go find them for me. And so they go to the cemetery. One of the girls is really dating the boy that they're all dating. Like when Nancy gets introduced to the boy, he's like, oh, I will be happy to add you to the rotation. And this other girl, like, pulls him aside. She's like, no, I know I let you date everybody, but you're really dating me. And you don't have to act, like, happy about the fact that you're dating everybody else, including this new girl. So, shape up. And so she's, like, trying to get him to be her date for the Halloween thing, and he's refusing, and he, tries to leave, but, basically, Nancy is there. She, like, he runs into her, and she is overcome by, like, desire to kill him. She ends up killing 2 people that night. She kills one of the other girls. Oop. Cat. And I think him. But she kills 2 people that night. And so now there's more bodies with puncture wounds and exsanguinated from blood. And the detective is like, can we... Hello? No. And Nancy's actual boyfriend comes to check on her, like, hey, your parents didn't come to check on you, but I heard, like, a bunch of murders were happening at your school, so I came to make sure that you were okay. The cops end up doing a polygraph on her, but she, like, doesn't fully know that it's her, so she's able to pass it because she's turning into this monster at night. But she gets, when she meets her boyfriend and he's, like, asking her questions, she, like, instead of being comforted, gets the desire to tear his throat out. She doesn't, but she gets the desire, and she's like, oh, something's fucking wrong here. Am I the murderer? Like, there's been signs. I keep blacking out at night when murders happen. But I think I might be the murderer. And she goes and confronts the teacher that hypnotized her. And she's like, what the fuck? You turned me into a monster. And she's like, no, you don't understand. You're more beautiful and powerful and wonderful. And this is my greatest success. And it's the best. I love it. But they end up, like, she ends up transforming. And they get into a fight. And she, like, uses, I don't know if she has vampire powers or what, but, like, grabs the lady's book that all of her research magic is in and, like, burns it up and, like, burns the lady's face because she's so upset that, like, you can't, this is all my stuff. You can't burn it. It's the most important thing to me. But, like, ends up, like, destroying this woman with, like, magic fire acid. But in the struggle, they, like, knock over a table, which breaks and falls, and Nancy gets pushed backwards, and she ends up falling backwards and getting staked through the heart
by the table
leg or whatever. And so when, like, all of the cops and the headmistresses and the girls all managed to, like, break in because they heard a scuffle outside, but the door was locked, they come in and they just see two dead bodies on the ground. And they're like, well, I guess probably one of them was the murderer. So that takes care of that. The end.
How did you find this picture?
It's been in my list for a really long time. I don't remember exactly how it got in there. I think I saw it on, like, one of the clip shows or whatever. Mm-hmm. About, like, old horror movies. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
And how did you find it as an experience? Good movie?
It was short. You know, it was slight. Mm-hmm. In the middle of it, there's also, they have a party where they invite the one boy who apparently knows two other boys who gets to come. So there were more boys you could have been dating this whole time, but
we want to date this one.
We want to date this one.
And he's into it.
And there's a musical number. One of the boys sings the song Puppy Love, and they all dance around.
Wow.
Which in the credits, it was like, featuring the song Puppy Love. And I'm like, can't wait to see how this fits into this vampire movie. And the answer is, it kind of doesn't.
They just sing it.
Yeah, an interesting artifact of teenage girlhood and vampirism from the late 1950s.
Is vampirism the great power trapped inside every person?
I guess so. It's not super clear because, like, science, but also this amulet that I got from a charity shop. I got it from an estate sale or some shit, and I just loved it. Oh, it's nothing. It's just costume jewelry, but it's so important to me. And I'll use it to hypnotize you and use my findings in my evil book. And I think she ends up, like, using the amulet's powers to, like, burn her up.
It's okay.
Not 100% clear.
Fair what enough. What
happened there, except that lady was getting burnt up and that other lady was falling on a stake.
I don't know that a vampire is worse than a nuclear bomb.
No. I mean, it's like very...
over time, I guess, you're immortal, but...
Yeah, you turn the whole world into vampires, that's the end of the world. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, it's very, like, late 1950s mm-hmm. anti-nuclear proliferation. We've got to stop these bombs somehow, even if that's turning girls into vampires. And they do, like, a vampire makeup on her when she transforms. It gives her a really, like, heavy brow and pointed eyebrows and big fuck-off teeth. Mm-hmm. It's really unattractive. It's not a sexy vampire look.
That the teacher was lying when she said she was more beautiful? I think
it's kind of supposed to be a sexy vampire look.
Oh.
Like, it's not, like, hideous. It's not like you're Nosferatu. But it's just, like, very weirdly done.
We've come a long way in sexy vampire technology yeah. since the late 1950s.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just true.
Yeah, after the night when the first murder happens, like, the girls are all being woken up to this news, and Nancy is still, like, fast asleep, and, like, get up, and the teacher, the one who turned her, comes in, and is like, you've got to get up, you know, you got your beauty sleep, wow, you look so beautiful, like, look at yourself, you have to get up to see how beautiful you look after you drank someone's blood last night, look at how beautiful you are. It's weird. It's weird yeah. priorities, vampire teacher lady. Yeah, that's what I did.
Okay.
Well. And we...
Yep.
Watched...
Mm-hmm.
I Know What You Did Last Summer.
We did indeed. We know what they did last summer.
We do. We know the secret now. All my life...
Since you've been wondering?
1997. I've been wondering what they did last summer. And now I know.
And what a crime.
It is. It's the worst crime.
It's not great. So I Know What You Did Last Summer is... When did Scream come out? 96?
I don't know. It's around then.
Let's find out. Because this is a Kevin Williamson written.
96.
Okay. So this is the year later. So, God, can you imagine writing Scream and then turning around and writing I Know What You Did Last Summer?
Topping yourself?
A much less good movie. it's about four people.
Mm-hmm.
Whose names I do not recall.
No, absolutely not.
In, North Carolina? In a Carolina? In a New England? Coast.
Yeah, I think that's supposed to be North Carolina.
They live in a crab town.
Yeah.
And...
Or you can be, like, the fish princess or whatever.
Yeah, so you can be in the fish parade.
If you're Sarah Michelle Gellar, mm-hmm. you're Miss Fish.
Yep. It's the 4th of July, and, yes, Sarah Michelle Gellar is here. She's just been crowned Miss Fish of the year. Jennifer Love Hewitt is here. She's dating Freddie Prinze Jr., who's here. Sarah Michelle Gellar is dating Ryan Phillippe. I think they're all, like, seniors or whatever. Like, they're kids getting ready to start their lives.
Yes.
They're so excited to do other things, get out of this town, get to New York or art school or whatever. But they celebrate too long on July 4th and get varying levels of drunk out on the beach mm-hmm. in the skeleton of a boat. Like a pirate crashed here. And then they drive back along their North Carolina bluff and strike a man with their car.
Yes.
And they're like, shit, fuck, he's dead. Let's throw him in the ocean. We also can't ruin our lives.
Yeah. Like, Ryan Phillippe was... Well, he was not driving, but it was his car.
No, he was way too drunk to
drive.
And
yeah, he's convinced that he's going to get blamed for it if they call the cops, like if they report themselves. He's like, no, it's my car and I'm drunk. They're going to think I was driving. They're not going to believe us.
Yeah, the attitude is very, it's our word against theirs, but I'm not sure who theirs is in this case. The dead guy?
Like, the person who wants to frame any or all of you for some reason.
Mm-hmm. So they decide to throw this man in the ocean, but not the nearby ocean that's right here off of the bluff. They drive him to the harbor and dump him in the sea right by the pier. Right before they dump him, it turns out he's not dead and hasn't been this whole time. They still dump him in the ocean. And they agree to never talk about it. Well, they yell at Jennifer Love Hewitt until she agrees to never talk about it.
Yeah, and he is not dead.
Yeah, he's alive. We could still do something about this, but instead they chuck him into the sea.
And they hit him. They, like, kill him.
They double kill him. He steals a fish princess crown.
Yeah.
And they're like, great, let's get on with our lives.
Anyway, yeah, let's go on. Sure, you know, these currents will take him away, but they'll mm-hmm. find him eventually. And then we'll, you know, deal with it or not after that.
Yeah. And then we cut to 1 year later. And nothing has gone right for any of them. Jennifer Love Hewitt did go to college, but has been depressed for a full year because of the murder she took part in. And does she get a scary note before she comes home or only after?
No, it's after because her mom, like, had the mail for her.
Her mom's like, here's some mail. Here's an unstamped envelope for you, hon.
I opened your report card, but I didn't open this mysterious envelope.
Yeah. So, yeah, she comes home and, yes, she gets a note and it says, I know what you did last summer. She's like, that's the name of the movie. And she starts freaking out and she seeks out her former friends because they have not spoken that much in the year since they killed that guy. Sarah Michelle Gellar did not go to New York. I mean, she did for a little while, but but instead has returned home and works at the store with her sister who hates her ass.
Yeah, and it's her father's store, it turns out. What's their fucking name?
Like, Shiver.
Shiver, yes.
Yeah, because the store is called Shivers. And it's like it's a department store, I guess. It's an everything store. So she's still here. Her and Ryan Phillippe broke up. He's real aggro, which he was before. And I don't know what he's done with himself. He wears dog tags now. I don't know if he joined the army or what. And Freddie Prinze Jr. did not go to art school. He fishes for crabs. And at least one other of them gets a scary note. I don't know that they all do.
No, I don't think they do.
Maybe they say they do. Like, here's what this movie does. Freddie Prinze Jr. is like, he's like, I also got a note. We never see it because the movie wants you to think he did it.
Yes, because he's the towny guy. Like, the rest of them are rich from rich families, and his family is of the crab boats.
Yes.
So he's, you know, you were always trying to be part of our world, but you never were. Mm-hmm. Blah.
There's also later they get like a sense of the guy, and it's like he has a rain slicker. He has and they're a like,
slicker. You have a slicker.
He's like, yeah, I work on a boat.
He has a ice fish hook. You work on an ice fish boat.
Yeah. So it's like, can we even trust him? And it's like, I mean, the answer is yes. This dope is not doing anything wrong other than conspiring to kill a man.
Yeah, which all the rest of you are also participating in.
Right. Yeah, you can't hold that against him. You all did that. And so earlier when I was talking about prom night, I mentioned that that was a guy with a real focused revenge plan. I know what you did last summer, guy. Clearly got notes from the studio that was like, you cannot take this long to kill a person. Get some more bodies in there. Because he just kills, like, what, two or three randos who were not involved in any way?
Yeah, he kills Johnny Galecki, mm-hmm. who, like, saw them that night. Like, he drove by as they were throwing this guy's body, like, behind a guardrail or whatever, yeah. Mm-hmm. temporarily. And, like, makes a snide comment and is sort of their rival. I don't know.
Yeah, they hate this guy. But they almost get in, like, a bar fight earlier with him. They hate his ass.
They think he's the one doing it for a minute and go and, like, threaten him. And then he gets ice hooked.
Yeah, he gets killed for no reason.
Yeah.
But like, Ryan Phillippe almost gets killed by his own car.
Yeah, he almost spared. Gets run over. The car drives through a fish shack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the car wrecks multiple seaside properties and then leaves.
Jennifer Love Hewitt gets her trunk filled with crabs.
Yeah, there's like a body in the trunk and then it's a bunch of crabs. And then she goes and gets somebody and they come back and it's all gone. And they're like, she's like, I'm not crazy. My trunk was full of crabs. And I'd love to see the murderer hauling away this armload of blue crabs, one of the meanest animals on Earth. Yeah, like, Sarah Michelle Gellar's hair gets cut in the middle of the night. Like, this guy's really taunting them for a while and killing people who are uninvolved. Until... it's actually July 4th. Oh, right. So Jennifer Love Hewitt thinks she knows who they killed.
Yes, because she was paying attention. Like, she comes back from college depressed and fucked up and anxious. And she had been, like, following the news. She saw when the body was recovered. So, and it was identified. And yeah. So she thinks she knows who this is.
Yeah, and it was this guy who... his girlfriend died up on the bluff like a year earlier in a car crash he caused, and his sister is still around. And so, like, her and Sarah Michelle Gellar go out to this sister's house that's like Texas Chainsaw Massacre light out there, and talk to her about her brother, and she's like, he killed himself a year ago, it's sad. And they're like, oh no. Is she owns a slicker. Is she doing the murders? She's not.
No, yeah, they make up a really shitty excuse to talk to this lady.
Yeah.
They pretend like their car broke down. They pretend like they want to be her friend, kind of. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she like gives them some information about a best friend that he had. So like maybe it was his best friend coming for revenge.
Right.
What's going on?
Right. Oh god, that best friend thread where it turns out that it was Freddie Prinze Jr. using a fake name.
Yeah.
The name of his boat or whatever. Does she die too? Does this sister bite it at one point?
I don't remember.
I feel like we go back to her house. But yeah, I don't know. Anyway, Sarah Michelle Gellar has to be in the fish parade, because that's what Princess Fish does before you get a new Princess Fish. And in the course of the parade, both her and Ryan Phillippe get killed.
Yeah, and her sister also gets killed.
Right.
Before, she so runs Ryan Phillippe dies. In the
she
shivers.
Runs around town. Her sister gets killed. Sorry to her. And then, yeah, she gets, like, stabbed feet from the parade that is still happening.
All day parade.
Yeah.
All day, all night.
All day parade, all day fireworks, all day beauty pageant for Miss Fish. Yeah, and, like, Jennifer Love Hewitt, like, finds their bodies or something. It pulls one last, like, no, it was you, Freddie. Such waffling on was it or was it not you, Freddie Prinze Jr. And he's like a real doof, and it's like he is not. If they told him to play maybe sinister, he's not managing, and if they didn't tell him to do it, why not? Like, he does not feel like a credible red herring at any point. And she ends up on the boat of the actual murderer while taking shelter from Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yes.
And it turns out the actual murderer is the man that they did not actually kill.
Yes.
They thought they did, but he lived, bitch.
Yeah, because the whole thing with the guy that they thought they had killed was his girlfriend had died a year prior. And so, at one point, they convince themselves, oh, maybe he did want a suicide.
That's right. Maybe we did him a favor by hitting him with
our car.
God, you idiots.
The guy that they thought they killed was actually the father of the girlfriend, the dead girlfriend of the dead guy.
He killed that guy, right?
Yes. And so he had killed that guy on the anniversary last year.
And then got hit by a car.
And you guys, interrupted it. Well, not really. You interrupted the celebration, I guess, by fucking destroying him with your car. And then hitting him again and then almost drowning him. But don't worry, he's fine.
Like, he's fine.
No noticeable.
He doesn't even limp. He has no scars. He's doing great.
No noticeable sequela from this near-death experience. He got out of the water. He healed up great. He spent the last year training to kill you all. He knows who you all are also. I guess it is a small town, even though none of you knew the dead guy.
Right. You didn't know either dead guy.
No, and you were like, it was like he was a senior when you were a freshman kind of thing.
Right.
So he's, like, not that far away from you in age or location in this small fish town.
Yeah.
And then you fucked him up. So, like, his revenge on you guys really has nothing to do with the whole daughter, boyfriend, dead guy story.
No.
He's just on a different revenge rampage. You hit the wrong guy. You hit a guy who already knows he has the capacity for murderous revenge.
Whoops. So they have a fucking fight on his boat.
Yeah,
like Freddie Prinze Jr. swims out there or whatever.
It's mostly full of ice.
Yes. Jennifer Love Hewitt hangs out in so much ice.
She gets locked in an ice barge for a while.
For a while. That's where her friends' bodies are at.
Yeah.
The murderer's hand gets, like, winched off at one point. Because this movie is also sort of obsessed with the Hook Hand Man story.
Yeah.
But also, it's like, no one knows how it really goes.
Yeah, at the very beginning, you see them all, like, very excitedly telling each other different variations of the Hook Hand story. Like, no, 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 this is what it was, and it was true.
Yeah, but then they're also like, but also, no, no, you're wrong. The call was coming from inside the house. Like, it's two to three different urban legends, and Freddie Prinze Jr. is like, you guys don't understand. It's modern mythology. It's like, shut the fuck up.
I won't.
No, he won't. But they, that guy's hand gets winched off, and I don't remember if he gets stabbed with anything or if he falls in the fucking ocean again. But he's dealt with somehow. And they get to have a normal life now. Jennifer Love Hewitt goes back to college and is happy instead of depressed.
Yeah, you can tell because her hair looks better.
Right. She's wearing less, like, skull makeup. But she ends up alone in a bathroom.
Yeah.
And she sees a note that's for her without a stamp on it, but it's just an invitation to a party. That's good. Yeah, but then she sees written on the mirror in Steam, I still know what you did last summer. And then a fisherman pops out of the mirror.
Yeah, like smashes all the glass.
Yeah, like he lived in there. Like he's Candyman.
Yeah.
And that's I Know What You Did Last Summer. Mm-hmm. Slashers are boring, mostly.
Come on, Kelly. This one had a fish parade.
I mean, dude, and that's the
trunk
thing.
Full of crack.
Almost every one of these I've talked about do have, like, their moments. But I, you know, when my first one is Scream, where things are constantly happening.
Yeah.
The rest of them all pale in comparison. Because there is a fish parade, there is a trunk full of crabs, but...
But yeah, it's just a sort of, like, slow getting the gang back together.
Yes.
And then getting the gang killed.
Yeah, and she does, like, two bouts of slow Googling. And then this whole convoluted double murder, like, extra murder thing, where it's just like, this is... It's a whodunit that's gotten all tangled up. Like, they put another one in there for some reason.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, I don't... Alright, you... I guess I see why they have to think it's a different man. I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. And, like, yeah, the whole, like... It was Freddie Prinze Jr. who was the dead guy's friend. He wasn't really the dead guy's friend. He pretended to be the dead guy's friend to get close to the sister.
To like,
and then was like, this is too fucked up.
I think he did it so he could go say, I'm sorry for your loss without having to be like, I hit him with a car.
We thought we killed him.
Yeah. And she would have been like, he drowned. There were no grill marks on his body at all. He was not hit by a car in the slightest. Yeah, like, maybe he's such a dud as a red herring. Like, you had to do something different there if you want me to take that thread seriously.
Yeah, he's the most likable of the core four.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't believe this man is the murderer.
No.
Give it to the aggro rich boy dog tag wearing... Ryan Phillippe.
Yeah, let Ryan Phillippe own a slicker.
His dad is gonna kill him, but his mom is just standing around being on the phone.
Yeah, we never see that dad who's gonna kill him about the car.
We also never find out how they fix the car.
Never. Like, the post-process of murder is just dump him in the water.
Yeah, I mean, I guess no one was looking for them because... They didn't kill a man, and he just got himself out of the water, you know, expeditiously to not drown. So.
It's a no thank you. No thank you. I Know What You Did Last Summer. I'm good.
So I was trying to pull up the Wikipedia page, just refresh myself on the plot, and I ended up accidentally pulling up the simple Wikipedia page for it.
Okay.
Which is deeply broken.
Okay, what's it say?
Because it's is that Matthew Lillard and Neve Campbell are in this movie.
Who wrote this?
I don't know.
A stupid
computer? But I've been, like, staring at it. Like, I didn't see Neve Campbell's name at first. I just saw Matthew Lillard's, and I'm like, no.
No.
You didn't miss fucking Matthew Lillard. Did you? Like, was he a small... What? No. It's just broken.
It's broke. That's a different movie. You're thinking of Scream, Wikipedia page.
Yeah. It says, on the 4th of July, 1996, in Southport, North Carolina, high school graduates Julie James, parentheses Jennifer Love Hewitt, Ray and George Bronson, parentheses Freddie Prinze Jr. and Matthew Lillard.
He does not have a brother.
No, what the fuck? Charlotte Wilson, Neve Campbell, no. Helen Shivers, Sarah Michelle Gellar, and Barry Cox, Ryan Phillippe. What? What? And like, I'm in an alternate universe. What's happening? And I was like flipping back and forth. I'm like, am I on like the page for the TV show? What? I'm like, no, 1997 movie. It says right there, 1997 movie. So that really fucked me up.
Yeah, understandably. Weird.
Yeah.
Someone is writing fan fiction.
Like, who?
Like, I know how to improve this movie. Two more people to get killed.
Who the fuck is Charlotte? And it's like, goes on. It's like, so and so and so and so and Charlotte do this. No, they don't.
Does it say how Charlotte dies?
I don't know.
Wow, eaten by crabs, huh? Aggressive.
Julie, Charlotte, and George research newspaper articles. Julie, Charlotte, and George find Max's corpse.
So wait, they're the two characters that don't exist are always with Jennifer Love Hewitt.
If she had imaginary sister, was her sister named Charlotte?
I have no
idea. No, her sister was named Elsa.
I was gonna say her sister certainly wasn't Neve Campbell.
No, it's like at the beauty pageant, Helen witnesses Barry and Charlotte being murdered.
No, she does not. Is it the novelization?
I don't know what's going on.
We're going to have to look into this.
I don't know what's going on. Being murdered on a balcony.
Yeah, Ryan Phillippe bites it up there. Charlotte doesn't exist.
This is so strange. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on Simple Wikipedia, but it's an alternate reality over there.
Yeah. Ugh.
But yeah, I realized I was on the wrong page when the directed by Jim Gillespie is a red link. There's no page for him. And I'm like, this guy definitely has a Wikipedia page. Wait, is Wikipedia broken? Oh no, I'm on the broken version of Wikipedia.
It's like, do you want regular Wikipedia or sick Wikipedia?
Sickopedia.
Welcome to Sickopedia. Please. Matthew Lillard was in I Know What You Did Last Summer. Probably that, right. That's Sickopedia's tagline. It's probably right.
That's Shaggy Doo. Do you want to talk about Lord of Illusions?
Yeah, let's talk about Lord of Illusions.
This is our LA horror movie.
That's right.
Also from the 90s, 1995. Clive Barker's Lord of Illusions.
I do want to say with this, we have covered all of the movies Clive Barker has directed.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, he only did the three, but still.
We did it.
We did it. Good for us.
And this movie opens with a caption that I didn't write down.
No, but you know the gist. But there are two worlds of magic.
Magic is real.
There's basically the world of fake magic and the world of real magic, where death is an illusion.
Yeah, hopefully you don't find out which is which.
Right. Live in ignorance.
Yeah, hopefully hopefully an evil magician isn't like your dad and doesn't ruin your life.
Yeah, your dad boyfriend or whatever he is.
Mark Ruffalo. That's the guy that I was trying to think of.
You do want him. You don't want him to be evil.
Yes.
What if Now You Three Me is about evil magicians?
I hope so. Like, not this kind.
You don't want another magic cult?
No. I mean, they already are one in there, but that's not true. Like, you know, I don't want anyone to go from beyond and Now You Three Me.
It'd be a real sharp turn. I'll start screaming in the theater.
So yeah, after you get this intro, there's real magic, there's fake magic. We pan over, like, with the titles, we're panning mm-hmm. over a moderately fucked up chicken farm.
Yep.
I had written very and then crossed it out and wrote moderately fucked up. Because there's just, like, chicken carcasses and stuff around. Stuff's rotting. Yeah. Stuff's been left out in the dirt. Mm-hmm. And then we eventually pan over to a very tan man mm-hmm. in a very slutty little outfit.
Rose. Later in the things, I'm like, Butterfield and his slutty little outfits.
Yeah, no.
This is the first of two very different yet equally slutty little outfits.
Yeah. And when he shows up again, I'm like, a different man in a slutty little outfit. I'm like, no, wait. This is supposed to be the same man in a different slutty little outfit.
Oh, Butterfield.
Yeah. I definitely just called him the slut.
That's fair. He would agree with you. I Googled him because I'm like, what? Have I seen this man before somewhere? And it's like, yes, but I don't recognize him. I probably am remembering him from watching this movie a decade ago.
But he's got, like, a Daisy Dukes. His taint is practically out.
Yeah.
His shirt unbuttoned to the mm-hmm. navel and cropped.
Yeah.
Like,
yep. Yeah. But listen, we'll tweet the slutty little outfit.
Oh, yeah.
He's got white eyebrows and, like, one dark eye and one pale eye. And you want this guy on your side. Because he won't give up on you.
No shit.
Even if you treat him like shit.
Yeah.
Poor Butterfield.
So, like, a car is pulling up to the chicken farm. Mm-hmm. And Butterfield goes off running. And then we meet our main antagonist, Nyx.
Yep.
Who is a guy leading some sort of cult. It looks like the world's dirtiest hot yoga session, but he's like got a fireball in his hand. He's doing some kind of like fire magic ritual and talking to his enthralled dirty children. You know, about the power of magic and the power of fire and the need to cleanse the world. And
yeah, the fire spoke to him and called him the Puritan.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's going to fix the world. They're all like, yay. We love it.
Yeah, they all love it. This car pulls up. Four people get out. Turns out these four people are important and I should have paid more attention to them. But these are former members of the fire cult, magic fire cult, who are coming back to put an end to it because Nyx has now kidnapped a kid. And that was like a step too far, even though we were in the world destroying cult.
Yeah.
How did we all get out? Who knows? This man can not just hypnotize you, but, like, literally put thoughts in your brain.
Yeah, along with his fingers.
Yeah. How did you leave? But left they did, and come back they did, with guns.
Yeah.
To rescue a child.
Really, the only, like, super important one of these four is the guy who's in charge, whose name is Swan.
Swan, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we see this kid who's, like, tied up in a corner. She gets menaced with a mandrill baboon on a chain.
Yeah, they have that. So the two things that Nyx well, he has his cult, obviously. But right. The other two things,
they don't do that much.
Is a baboon and like a Hannibal-esque skeleton sculpture thing
That he can hang out of on.
A room, big bloody gore sculpture.
Yeah. I will say, looking at this baboon, I'm like, I think maybe a mandrill baboon is the animal I would least like to have to fight. in the world.
Yeah, that seems bad, but it just, like, scratches her up.
Yeah, they just definitely just hit her with, like, a puppet hand, but this they do have a real baboon for some shots, and it's like, damn, those are big fucking teeth.
Yeah, they're scary.
Yeah.
But yeah, these four are, like, busting in, they're splitting up, they're trying to find out what's going on. All of the members of the fire cult are pretty nonchalant. They're, yeah, like, very laid back. They're just, mm-hmm, like, oh, you're back.
I thought you left.
Who told you you could come back? You know, hey, you can't leave. He's not going to let you leave again.
Mm-hmm. But they're just, like, waving. Over me. Yeah, there's Snake Guy, there's Glasses Man. A lot of them look, like, fairly normal and just slightly dirty.
Yeah, they're just pretty dirty.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Nyx, the Puritan, has now gone into the sculpture, the skeleton sculpture. He's just, mm-hmm, hanging out up there, and then he, like, sort of flies down. Turns out that's one of his powers, is, mm-hmm, he can sort of levitate. Because Swan has found the room where the girl is being held and where the skeleton is and where Nyx, turns out, is. But he, like, flies down from the skeleton and puts brain thoughts in Swan's brain, mm-hmm, which mainly makes him think his compatriots are, like, splitting apart and they're goo inside.
Yeah. Nyx is like, you're gonna see flesh with the eyes of a god. Because neither of them are that big on, like, physical bodies, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's this interesting effect of, like, the frame itself practically, like, splitting, like, their latex. And it's like, you're just meat in there. And he's like, gross, I hate it.
I don't want to be just meat.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, in this, like, struggle, I guess, what the guns got thrown down,
mm-hmm,
and that little girl who's being held hostage picks one of those up and blammo.
Yep.
Gets
nixed right in the chest.
Yeah, really shoots him.
Mm-hmm.
And his, like, head turns into a ghoul for a moment, like, stretches up and gets translucent. But he's not dead. He gets up. He's can't kill this guy with a chest shot.
Nope.
So
they shoot him a number of more times.
Yeah, shoot him in the leg, shoot him in the head. Done.
And they put a Hellraiser contraption on his face.
Yeah, they've got him, like, down on the ground. They're like, everybody grab a limb, hold this guy down. He's like, what are you gonna do to me? And he goes, I'm gonna bind you. And, yeah, it's like a lobotomy device that they shove on his forehead, and then it has another piece that goes over his mouth.
Yeah.
And it magically screws itself into his head,
mm-hmm,
so he can't use any of his senses, and now he's dead, and what are we gonna do? We're gonna bury him so deep no one will ever be able to find him.
Yeah.
And then the slutty guy runs out into the desert and screams.
Yeah, he's so upset. Yeah, and this was all in the Mojave Desert in 1982, and then we cut to New York 13 years later.
Like, New York? I thought this was an L.A. movie.
We gotta meet our sad occult noir detective first.
Yeah, enter Harry DeVore.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Bakula.
Yep.
Who, yeah, is your classic, like, down on his luck, drunk half the time, you know, private investigator. Mm-hmm. He just got off a apparently very extensive case of an exorcism. I don't know what a private investigator does in an exorcism case, but he was there. It was in the, mm-hmm, newspaper. It was on TV. Everybody saw it. He's famous.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's hard to tell because, like, a guy comes to see him and is like, was that kid possessed? And he's like, probably. And
yeah.
It's like, I can't tell if this contact of yours takes you seriously or not.
Yeah,
like, does, like, everyone just think you're crazy?
Specialize in, like, supernatural PIing? Because I came here to hire you to investigate regular ass insurance fraud.
I do that too.
Okay. All right. I'm not really getting your whole deal, Harry DeVore.
I feel like this guy's just like, I will give you a normal case. Please be normal. And he's like, I'd love to not have a demon talk to me.
Yeah.
Put it on the books.
You need a vacation somewhere sunny, like L.A.
Yeah.
So he takes it.
Yeah, he's like having flashbacks about
the scary exorcism.
There's a scary lady. Someone tells him to taste the darkness. It's been waiting for you. Yeah. He's like, I would like to leave, please.
You're full up with darkness. That's what we'll find out about Harry DeVore.
We'll certainly hear it about him.
But yeah, he takes a job. Now we're in L.A. Now, yeah,
trees.
A montage. The trees, the mountains, the buildings, the hills.
Yep.
The Santa Monica Pier.
Oh, was that the pier?
It was up here.
I'm like, oh, the, well, I don't know it's the Santa Monica Pier, but I did also assume that.
Yeah. It was up here with stuff on the end.
So. Well, who else is it supposed to be?
I don't know. Nobody.
Nobody.
Anyway, let's go to the Comfort Tin Motel. Where the subject is here partying with hookers.
Yep.
As you do when you're defrauding insurance.
Yep.
And like Harry's like narrating to himself, like he's having a good time up there. He's really getting his money's worth.
Yeah, he's got a little tape recorder that he uses just this one time.
Yeah. Well, he's stopped doing a real job that he can get paid for
pretty quickly
after this. Because then the subject fucking runs away from his own party. He's like, yep. Gotta pay these hookers, gotta get the fuck out of here.
Ladies, you hang out, I'll be back. To go to a psychic.
I have a psychic appointment that I'm late for. I gotta get there right now.
I gotta put my shirt on as I head to my car. That's how late I am.
He rushes the fuck out of there. Turns out to get to a psychic's office.
Yep.
Because Harry obviously follows him. And then when he goes like upstairs to the psychic's office, he immediately turns around and runs the fuck back out. Because it's bad in there.
Yeah.
This guy has nothing to do with it.
No.
He literally was just late for his
psychic
appointment.
Wrong place, wrong time. Doesn't suffer for it, though. This guy gets away.
No, yeah. I mean, whatever his insurance problems are, they're between him and the insurance company. It's not Harry's problem anymore.
Nope.
Cat, what are you doing?
What is she doing?
She's trying to open the curtains. Get behind my computer.
Thank you, Jez.
Because, yeah, it's bad in there. Like, we see him leave bloody footprints as he runs out. There's a psychic filled with knives.
Yeah. Still
there.
Alive.
Yeah.
But about as full of knives as you can be and still be alive.
And it turns out this is one of the guys.
Mm-hmm. This is Quaid from the opening.
Yes. Who one of the cult rescuers.
Yep.
But he's nearly dead and definitely psychic now.
Yeah.
Who else is in here? Some kind of skinhead guy?
A bitey man?
Yeah. Who gets in a tangle with Harry and gets hit over his own head with a phrenology head.
Yep.
Allowing Harry to get away and get into the dead psychic room, where that other slut who turns out to be the same slut is.
Yeah, in his second outfit with the tiny waist and the gold shirt and the black. No, they're sorry, the pants are not black. He's got like a black belt, like sash thing.
Yeah.
He's got snakeskin pants.
But he has those eyes, so it's the same guy.
Yeah, he's much less tanned. He has not been hanging out in the desert.
Yes, he's had a normal skincare routine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think there's another fight because the skinhead guy gets up.
He's like, you ever seen a man die? And Harry's like, fuck, shit. But then, yes, Bitey digs through the door. Like, he pulls through the wood with his hands.
Yeah.
He's furious. And Harry ends up throwing him out a window where he clonks to the ground. And yes, I believe in this fracas, Butterfield leaves.
He just leaves. He's always just leaving.
He's like, I've figured out when to fucking leave.
I have
goodbye.
Other places to be, and it's not in this dying psychic room.
Yeah. And but Quaid the psychic is not quite dead.
No. And I want to give you a psychic reading with my last dying breath.
Yeah, give me your hand.
Let me write a rune on your hand with blood.
No thank you. Harry's like, I left New York to get away from this shit. No thank you.
There's darkness in you.
Yeah, make peace with that. He's just like, I don't think I will.
Anyway, I'm croaked. Yeah, the Puritan is coming. Home. Now I'm croaked.
R.I.P. to me.
There, and he has a whole, like, tarot set up on his table, and Harry DeVore just has to turn over the last tarot card, and it is swords.
Yeah, it's a 10 or 12 or whatever the fuck of swords, and it's a man full of swords.
Yeah.
And you're like, damn, like Quaid, and the movie's like,
no. No, no, those were knives. Very specifically, those were knives. We have more swords for you later.
Yeah, you just wait. You hang on.
But DeVore talks to the cops. He's like, I was here for a job, and I'm now, this is not part of that job. I'm reporting this to the police.
Yeah, the police, he like says what he was doing, and she's like writing down this guy's name, and Harry's like, he wasn't involved.
Yeah, I mean, talk to him if you need to, but nothing. It's like, yeah, call me, whatever. They go to like look at where the guy fell out the window, and he's gone. Weird. Goodbye.
Yeah. And they're like, after that fall, he'd be dead. And Harry's like, I don't know. I guess he didn't care.
I guess he wasn't though. And they're like, hey, haven't we seen you on the news? This is not important to my character. Please stop bringing it up.
Please drop it.
But hey, Swan. Remember the guy Swan? He's still alive. He's still around.
Yeah.
He's a famous magician now.
Yeah, in fact, when Harry gets to LA before he even stakes that guy out, he sees a big ad for Swan at the Pantages. So, Swan's in town doing magic.
Yep, he has big mansion. He's married to Famke Janssen, whose name is Dorothea Swan. And yeah, she's like, so what are you gonna do for your show? And he's like, I'm gonna do real magic and trick them into thinking it's an illusion, and that's what I always do. She's like, oh, okay, cool. And they talk about how they saw in the newspaper that Quaid had been killed. Like, should we find out anything more about that? I guess, like, not enthusiastically, but I guess we should. Let's put our butler on the case.
Our very handy butler.
Yeah, I never got this man's name.
No, it starts with a V. It's like Valentin or something.
Oh, Valentin, I think that's right.
Yeah, but then later there's a magician whose name is like Valentino. Like, the names are, those two names too close. But yes, I believe he's Valentin. And guess what? Harry's in the news again because of the dead psychic.
Yeah, because he was at the scene of a crime.
It's just like his picture on the front page.
Yeah,
it's like, famous, I don't know, find this guy.
Famous exorcist detective was near a murder. But yeah, so next thing we know, we're in a cemetery. Not one of the ones that we visited.
No.
But an LA Bill's cemetery. Too gentle. And we see Dorothea Swan there off in the distance. And now Harry is talking to the butler. It's like, she wants to meet you. She wants you to help her husband. Go talk to her. So he does. And they have a stroll through the cemetery. Where it's like, so you're not into his, you know, whole deal. You don't think magic is real. You're not into occultism. And she's like, nah, it's not my thing. But what I really want is for you to find out what's going on with that tarot deck and stop it from happening. It's like, really sound like a lady who doesn't believe in psychics. Yeah, it's like, I want you to find out what Quaid saw in the cards and stop it. He's like, sure. I guess I am the occult detective.
Again, he himself is just like, I don't know how much occult stuff I want to do. But he does, it's also like, oh, you gotta come see Swan's show. Yeah,
come to the show.
She does tell him, like, you got to see my husband in person. You'll love him.
It's real magic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, they go to the Pantages. This show, I don't know if it's the premiere. It must be.
It's the last night in L.A.
Oh, shit. You have to wear a tux?
Yeah. You got to dress real fucking fancy. Everyone's
in black tie. I know you did not have that in your hand luggage, Harry DeVore. Where did you get this tux?
He does say to her, he's like, this is an important night for me. I got to get this tux back by midnight. And yet earlier, Swan had also said, like, you know, Dorothea, I want you to be at tomorrow's show. I want you to see my, I got a new trick. I want you to see it. She's like, okay, cool.
Disappear.
Finally, somebody's doing it. So we see two tricks in this illusion show.
Yeah, this is a very mind freak.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of dancers, both male and female, in thongs, mm-hmm. Dancing around. There's like a big glass urn with a skeleton inside of it that's filling up with sand.
And then the sand becomes like solid and then it explodes and Swan's in there.
Yeah, the first illusion is he explodes out of an urn
mm-hmm.
and floats.
Yeah.
Which he is just a thing he can do.
Yeah, he's good at that.
And then there's a big escape. The next trick is a mm-hmm. big escape thing where he's like tied to a spinning wheel.
Yep.
That is underneath suspended swords that mm-hmm. are all going to fall. And like they're presumably supposed to fall between his arms and legs while he attempts to escape. But they fall in all his arms and legs.
Yeah, instead. He like gets one arm free and his head. And then every other sword hits his dumb body.
Yeah. It's going real bad.
Yeah. It takes a long time for people to be like, we should bring down the curtain.
Yeah, well, like, nobody on stage is reacting. Like, the audience doesn't know what to think. Like, obviously, this seems like it's not going the way that it's supposed to. But is it a work? Is it a double fake? No one in the audience, like, yeah, the dancers aren't like, what the fuck, this didn't happen in rehearsal. The stage manager isn't like, stop, break the glass, get Scarlett Johansson out of there. Like, mm-hmm. none of that's happening. But yeah, by the time he's bleeding everywhere. And yeah. then the final sword, like, falls in his torso.
Yeah.
Mass panic. Everyone run. Craziness.
Yeah, it's like the second or third sword in his torso. And they're just like, well, I guess we're probably done here.
Yeah.
The most reaction we see is one dancer gets, like, blood splashed on him. And he, like flinches a little bit.
Yeah.
But you could definitely see this guy being like, oh, it's an extreme magic trick. He faked getting stabbed in an arm and a leg. And then he was fine. He's not. He's dead.
He's super dead. So yeah, basically Harry like grabbed Dorothea's hand and ran them through the audience toward the stage when everyone was running away. And now they're backstage and the stage manager butler's like, what the fuck? Somebody's like, who are you? He's like, I'm here. Don't worry about it. And he immediately like climbs under the contraption.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going in the stage.
Yeah, there's like little Tesla coil zapping under mm-hmm. there, and he's like, I'm going down. And when he gets down there, there's a slut.
Yep. Butterfield and Bitey are here.
Yeah. His and nemesis. So
he's like, oh, they did it. And they're like, hey, quick question. Who did this?
He's like, what? You can't ask me that. I'm asking you that. I thought you did that. Yeah, they're upset. They're upset that Swan has been killed by not them.
Yeah.
And they want to fight about it.
Yeah, he gets like clocked in the face with a hunk of wood. And there's like a shootout under here. He ends up impaling Bitey on a prop.
Yeah, there's like a big...
like the sand funnel.
Big... I thought it was like a demon face. It
definitely is.
With a tongue. Mm-hmm. And he gets impaled on the demon tongue.
Yeah.
like swung, and it's a sandbag pouring out red sand. It swung and it impaled him. And yeah, Butterfield has just walked away again.
Once again, he's like, I'm leaving. See ya.
Yeah. But yeah, that was unfortunate. I guess I didn't help your husband. I did not prevent your husband's death. I am gonna stay and keep investigating what the fuck's going on now, though. I've been, like, attacked multiple times, and I think it's not cool. So
right, like, the same dudes also. If it were different dudes, maybe I could let it go, but it's the same man.
I gotta do something about this. I can't let this stand. So Dorothea's basically like, okay, I guess. Maybe try talking to the other magicians? And so he goes to the magic castle.
Hey, we saw that.
We did.
We didn't even attempt to go in or park near it, but we did see it.
No, we drove by several
looking LA for parking
institutions while looking for parking.
Yep.
Yeah, he like gets a meeting, I guess, with a bunch of magicians. Like, come have dinner with us. We'll show you around. Not inside the repository.
No.
Which is where every secret of magic is stored. And there's only three keys. And I don't have one. I'm not even a magician. I'm just the guy who shows you around the magic castle. But yeah, he has dinner with a bunch of magicians. There's like one guy who is sort of aggro and like really show offy and wants to talk shit. His mm-hmm. name's like Vinovich.
Yes, this is the other V name.
Yeah, he is the subway ghost from Ghost.
Yep.
But he's like, I can reproduce any miracle given enough preparation time.
Yeah, Swan wasn't that cool. I could do that, probably.
It's like, if he was so good at magic, why is he so dead?
And they're all like, he, he, he. And I'm like, that guy just got filled with swords.
It's like, wow, you're such a bitch, Vinovich. But Harry, like, is not obviously taking him as seriously as he wants to be taken. It's like mm-hmm. sort of taking the piss out of him. And he gets mad.
Yes.
Swans off.
Yeah.
And
as he's leaving, this is when Harry's like, cool accent, is that like South Brooklyn? Or, and this guy just goes, hey, fuck you. Like, he drops his magician accent.
But there was another magician there who was, like, enjoying how Harry was taking the piss out of him and sort of, like, bonds with him a little bit. He's like, you'll help me, right? You'll help me, like, figure out what's really going on here. And he tells him, the other magician tells Harry about Nyx.
He's been hearing whispers of Nyx.
Yeah. He's some kind of Puritan. He wants to cleanse the world.
Here's my card for later.
Very bad news. Yeah. So Harry has some more bad dream flashbacks. He has a
sideways nightmare.
Yeah.
He lays the wrong way in the bed and has a nightmare.
And he talks to Dorothea on the phone again. And is like, I'm still going to keep investigating. I've struck out at the Magic Castle, more or less. But I want to stay and investigate. Again, she's just like, okay.
She's like, I'm planning a funeral. Do what you want.
But he asks her about some of the names that the other magician had mentioned. He's like, do you know Nyx? And she's like, no.
She fucking drops the phone. And he's like, hello? Hello?
And she's like, no. I said, clunk, no. And then, like, another name, it was just the last name, Desdemona.
Yeah, he remembered, so in his nightmare, he remembers Butterfield threatening Quaid, and it's like, we know where Swan is, Pym is dead, and Jennifer Daddario whatever. Yeah. Where is she? And it's like, no one knows where she is. And he's like, well, I'll try that name, I guess.
But yeah, Dorothea denies knowing her, too. But he's like, all right, still gonna investigate. I gotta go break back into that crime scene where the psychic was murdered. So he does that, goes back to the psychic's office, breaks in, finds a false bottom drawer in the psychic's desk, and finds like a phone book, a little like black book in there. And
it, you know, has... what I noticed, like the first number was
what?
AAA.
It works.
Like, why'd you hide your normal ass address book?
I can't cook the books like this. I can't have two address books, one for secrets and one for not secrets. So I just make the whole thing secrets.
All right, fair enough.
But yeah, Jennifer's name is in there. Score, pay dirt. This whole time, the butler has been, like, sort of being creepy, like, listening in on all of Harry's conversations with Dorothea. And he shows up here at the psychic crime scene to offer Harry $30,000 to walk away.
Yeah, please leave.
And Harry's like, respectfully, no. I'm going to where Jennifer is now.
And Valentin is like, Dorothea says, cut it out. This isn't even just me. This is her saying, please leave. And no, you cannot speak to her to confirm that.
He's like, I'll hear it from her or I'm sticking around. And so he sticks around. And he goes, Jennifer has been in an institution. She is having hallucinations. He talks to, I don't know if he's the doctor or whoever he is, but somebody at the institution that explains Jennifer's deal as she has a loose grip on reality, and she thinks the devil is coming and coming after her specifically.
And she was doing a lot better until very recently, where she's gotten worse than she ever was.
Yes. And so they let Harry just hang out with this lady and, like, walk around and talk with her, and he asks her some specifics, and she's already told him that her memory's not good. It's like, they give me pills, and I'm, like, not really clued in on stuff, so my memory's not good. And he's like, well, do you know a man named Butterfield? And she's like, I don't know. And then she asks about Swan, and she's like, ha, I do know him. But then she sort of starts to go downhill.
She freaks out when she sees a bunch of construction workers digging a hole.
They were digging a hole, and now they've dug it so deep that they're in the hole, and that is bad, because the guy who's trying to kill you is in a hole.
That, at least that deep.
Yeah. So, guys in holes are dangerous.
Yeah.
But yeah, Harry's like asking for more information. He's like, no, I can't tell you. I can't tell you. He'll hear me. She's like,
I don't even want to think about it because he'll hear me.
If I think about it, he'll find me. He'll hear me. And then when she sees the construction workers, she like runs off and runs straight into the street and gets fully fucking run over.
Yeah.
Like the tire is on her chest.
It's on her stomach. Yeah. This guy was going way too fast. And she's 100% dead.
Yeah.
She does she does say Nyx is the one who's coming.
Nyx is the Puritan. And he's digging his way out.
And she's also like, fuck Swan. He said it was over and it wasn't fucking over.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy. I hope he's filled with 10 to 12 swords.
All right. Well, that was interesting information. I think I'll call my magician friend. See if he can help me break into the repository.
He can.
Yeah, there's a skylight in the repository.
Fuck your three keys.
You just need a crowbar and you're in.
Yep.
So they break in and they're together looking for any magic information that the repository might hold that might help them. And they find, like, a row of, like, wooden buttons.
Yeah, they look like decoration, but they're 1,000% buttons.
With sigils. And
one of them has the symbol that Bitey had, like, carved into his head, which looks like a big dagger.
He's like, hey, I know that. I know that symbol. Let me press that symbol button. And it opens up a panel in the wall. Mm-hmm. And inside the panel in the wall, there's a big pile of paperwork.
Yep. That's the secret papers.
Yeah. And so they're like, go get the files. And when you walk over to get the files, you step on a square in the ground and it makes a booby trap.
Yeah.
Where, like, big spikes come out and try and close the wall hole on you, but now with spikes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Billy's arm almost gets bitten off by the magic castle.
Yeah. Harry is able to, like, hold it open. He's, like, holding it with his arms, like, like, grab the files.
He's like, no, fuck you. I need my arms.
Fuck off the fucking files. And so he does. They get the files. Mm-hmm. And then they're attacked by a ghost brain monster.
Yeah.
That is like a Scooby-Doo style projection.
Yeah.
Turns out.
Harry does hold a gun to this projection's head.
Yes, he does. And then he shoots the projector like 3 times.
Yep.
Overkill.
They're gonna press charges.
You shot up our repository? My illusion.
Rude.
The one thing that I contributed to protecting the Sorcerer's Stone and you just shot it?
Oh no, these child wizards brought guns.
Could have shot the key. Most of
shot the plant. Shot the three-headed dog. Shot the potions. Shot the chest. Fuck.
Yeah, if you just shoot the king, I think you win it.
You go checkmate. Blammo.
Blammo.
They do take a brief look at these papers, and it's like scary drawings of people doing brain magic, and Billy's like, I don't know any of these illusions.
Yeah, this is all French to me.
This seems like maybe some pages fell out of a Necronomicon or something. Yeah, I don't know. You can have
bad.
Them.
Take them. He's like, I'm gonna take these to Dorothea. And he, like, goes to the house, and he, like, busts in a door, and Dorothea is just there. Like, breasting boobily over a casket. Mm. Like, pink dress, no bra. Swan didn't want a funeral. He didn't want embalming. He didn't want you to fuck with his body at all.
Touching his body, yeah.
He just wanted to be left in this room.
He used to say that flesh is a trap and magic sets us free.
It's crazy the things that he would say.
Wild. You're a normal man, Swan.
So Harry's like, look at these papers. I need you to tell me the truth about Nyx. Like, I know that Nyx is Puritan. I know some stuff. So stop lying to me and pretending like you don't know anything. And she's like, yeah, no, it was a, like, weird fire cult. And it was definitely real magic. He could levitate. He could make people see things.
Yeah, stick his fingies in your brain.
He taught Swan some of that stuff, and that's how he did real magic.
Mm-hmm.
Consequently, I, Dorothea, owe everything. Owe my life. Owe everything that I am to Swan. So I'm, like, double sad that he's dead, because he wasn't just my husband. I had a life debt.
Yeah, I had a Wookiee life debt. Because they have talk. He's like, you didn't marry him for love. Why'd you marry him? It's like gratitude mostly, because he saved my life.
Yeah.
He loved me. I didn't really love him, but it was fine. Have you seen our pool?
Yeah, we're rich.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, all right, I kiss you now.
Yeah, let me undo these million buttons that are your shirt, and we can fuck.
Yeah, I kiss
she's
you.
She's like, into it.
I button you. I fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
And in the, like, post-coital glow, he's like, you're fine. Nyx can't hurt you now because he's dead.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, I shot him.
So what are y'all worried about? What are we all worried about with the murders and the two weird guys who keep showing up?
Harry does not seem that, like, he's not a big skeptic. He is not presented with, at least I don't think he is, but maybe it's just not playing. I don't know. But he's not just like, real magic, that's bullshit. He's like, no, okay, real magic, that's fine. But it's like, but that guy's not,
guy.
Yeah, that guy's not dead. And he's like, whatever, jerk off motion. Like, listen, I shot the plant and I shot the dog and I shot the king of chess. If you shoot him, he's dead.
He's dead. But yeah, then Dorothy is like, no, but he was coming after all of them because they contributed to his death. And I'm the fucking one who shot him. So he's super coming after me. I hate it here. And then they're, like, attacked, sort of, by a
fired snake.
Like a geometry figure full of blood.
Yeah, sometimes it's a polygon that is folding and unfolding itself. And sometimes it's a snake of fire. And Harry does attempt to shoot it with his gun.
Shoots it. And, an explosion. A fire chases him back down the hall. And that's when he somehow realizes that Swan is not dead.
Right. Yeah, I don't quite track this part.
No,
yeah.
I don't know. He like runs away from the fire and straight into the casket room and rips Swan's jaw off.
Yeah. Yeah. Dorothea like touches this polygon and it runs away. And then, yeah, he's like, your fucking husband. And yeah, he pulls his face apart and they're like, what is your fucking problem? He's like, he's made of sawdust.
And so now it's Valentin confession time. You were part of this. You rigged the trick to fail, right? And it's like, yeah, he rigged the trick to fail. He's trying to make Nyx or his followers or whoever think that the prophecy had already played out, the tarot cards got him in the end.
Yeah.
And he's dead now, so you can stop trying to kill him.
He also seems to think, and we find this out a little bit later, I guess, that by faking his death, he takes the heat off of Dorothea. Dorothea's like, Nyx hates me because I shot him in the chest. And Swan's like, Nyx hates me more. Because I betrayed him.
Yeah.
Like, we were supposed to be ride or die, and I took a third option. I left.
Yeah.
And Harry's still like, that guy's dead. It's not a problem.
Don't know what you're all on about.
Every last person I'm meeting is panicking about this man, and I just don't know why. I think you're all wrong.
So then it's time for Swan's funeral. Swan is definitely there. Like,
yes.
Tom Sawyer hanging out at the back of his own funeral. And Harry follows him away from the cemetery, dressed like a cowboy.
Yep.
Like a space cowboy.
Yeah.
Follows him to, like, a, I don't know, an underpass or wherever.
Yeah, a tunnel.
Wherever magicians keep all their spare junk, hideout. And it is Swan. He's there. He's got a fake mustache. He is levitating a car.
Yeah, he's going to smush him with a car.
You fuck my wife, I smush you with a car. That seems fair.
Yeah.
And
Harry is like, how are you doing that? It's like, magic, Harry. What side of the fence are you on, buddy?
Magic is real. His wife was a child. Please don't smush me with a car. Things are about to get wild.
Take that mustache off.
Yeah, take that mustache off. Just talk to me, Goose. What's your fucking problem? Magic is real. Why are you so upset all the time? And Swan is like, well, you know, illusionists get Vegas contracts and magicians get fucking killed. So better for people to not think magic is real. Right? But yeah, this is when he explains that he was trying to get the heat off of Dorothea. It's like, bro, yeah. I don't think it's working.
No. And Harry's like, how about you help me instead? And I'm like, help you do what? You're convinced that man is dead.
I still want to know who killed the psychic. Who's trying to kill me? Nobody killed you, Swan.
Any of you tell me about this Butterfield guy? Like, anybody? Do you have thoughts at all? But no. Speaking of Butterfield.
Yeah.
He's at the house. And he sits on Valentin's throat.
I thought this was back at the Pantages.
Oh, you're right. It might be back at the Pantages.
Because we see them, like, taking the show apart.
Right,
and, like, you're the right. Butler is breaking into the why? And why is Butterfield here? This was just another, like, okay, interesting that we're back here. Why are we back here? Like, was there something you needed to get? I don't think so. But yes, Butterfield fucking sits on him.
Yeah. And then he's like, I always thought if I weren't a magician, I'd be a surgeon. That's why I love scalpels.
Yeah.
Tell me where Nyx is buried or I'll take your eye out.
I'm going to give you a little cut in your lip and then I'm going to dig your eye out.
Like, cut your gum, like your bottom gum, too. Yeah.
Weird.
This is when I wrote about his slutty little outfit.
But I guess it, like, fucking works.
Minimal, yeah, this guy does know where Nyx is buried.
Minimal he gives torture it up. Works, he tells. Because then Swan and Harry get back to the house, and the housekeeper has been murdered, and Dorothea is gone.
Right.
So after Valentin gave up Nyx's location, they went and kidnapped Dorothea and killed this housekeeper, and now they're driving out to where he is buried, and they are making Valentin dig a big asshole.
Yep.
It's like, you said it was here, so you better be right, because you're going to keep digging until you find him.
And Valentin's like, I've never been here. He just told me about the rocks, but okay.
Keep digging. Big fuck off hole.
Mm-hmm.
And while Butterfield is watching this hole being dug, Dorothea, like, tries to get the drop on him.
Yeah, he's got, like, a bag of weird material, like, weird bits and bobs, and he's like, I'm gonna get that fucking face cage off of his face, and she's like, well, these are pointy, I can stab you with that, but it doesn't work out.
No, because but they find him. They're like, yeah, an arm flops out of the side of the hole. Woo, we did it.
Yep, here he is.
And then he, like, immediately explodes the ground around him, busts out of that dirt prison.
Yeah.
Also, the gang is getting back together, and by the gang, I mean the fire cult.
They've maybe been here for 13 years. It's hard to tell.
Again, living in another, like, weird cave, underpass, culvert situation.
Four shacks bound together with twine.
The guy with the snakes is still here.
Still snaking.
Still has snakes.
Glasses guy is still here. They're all cutting their hair off and throwing it into a fire and, like, chanting, like, he's coming or whatever.
Yeah, like, really frenetically, like, with razor blades, cutting their hair from the tops of their own heads.
Yeah.
And they all end up, like, scalped slicing at the end. Like, they're all just bald, like, in the front, bloody, and hair in the
back. Yeah, they're a mess, for the rest
of the movie.
Yeah.
But,
meanwhile, Harry and Swan find the hole.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Swan knew where it was also.
Yeah.
So, they're able to find it easily.
Yep.
And when they get there, Harry falls in the hole.
He just falls in the hole. This is not magic. He just slips and falls in a big hole. And Swan is like, so scared that he's trying to psych himself up into getting out of the car. He's like, come on, you fucking idiot, get out of the car. And it's like, you gotta help this guy who fell in a hole.
Harry fell in a hole and found Valentin, who's doing bad down there.
Whoops. Don't worry, Valentin's quickly cooling body that isn't quite dead yet softened my fall.
So, you're back at the cult hair ritual.
Mm-hmm.
They get that mask off of him. Mm-hmm. They get him all, like, healed up good.
Yeah, he's like,
shoots into the air.
Yeah, you see him, like, undoing the screws, and, like, his body is unrotting.
Yeah,
where, like, it's like the rot is seeping backwards. There's also this cool shot where you go into his chest hole and just see, like, different, like, goos and oozes in there.
Yeah.
Like, writhing around. But yeah, he's He gets up, they get the face thing off of him. Butterfield's like, my coolest guy, my best friend. And this motherfucker's first words are, where's Swan?
Yeah. Ungrateful.
Yeah.
Ungrateful, Nyx. Yeah. He's like, I'm here. I'm back. Get on your knees. Bring me my one good friend, Swan.
Oh, yeah. And there's a moment where he's like, where's Swan? And Butterfield, who's like, I saw that guy's funeral. He's dead. A bunch of swords fell into him.
No one believes that.
Yeah, he gets his ass kicked for that.
Don't say that to me. I can sense his existence. Well, he's my best friend.
I'm right here.
Shut up. No one asked you.
Yeah, earlier when Butterfield's like, he's almost back, all the cultists like smashed a bunch of glass. I'm like, what the fuck is their problem? It's so they can kneel in glass when Nyx comes out. I'm like, damn.
It's like, fall on your knees on glass.
And they're like, we're doing it.
I'm floating. I'm definitely not standing.
Yeah, I'm not fucking. I just have so many screws in my face. I'm not kneeling on glass. I'm not walking on glass. I'm skipping the glass today.
And he like grabs Dorothea and is like levitating, holding her. And he makes the fucking ground collapse under him. So he's levitating over a big hole.
Yep. And he's like, I've come back to give you all the knowledge from the grave. And they're all like, woo, yeah. And he's like, here's the news. I came back, so I have to give something back. And they're like, woo, yeah.
Throw that lady in a hole, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that I'm sure that's what they think's going to happen. But instead, the center of his forehead opens up like he's from beyond.
He looks like he's about to go from beyond. Like something keeps like poking its little tongue out of his head hole like it's gonna from beyond.
Yeah, his fucking pineal gland is here. And then he makes it rain inside.
Yeah, he instead a bunch of fog comes out of the hole in his head and then it rains.
And they're all kind of like, huh? But then they're like, yeah, woo, this rules.
And then I thought everyone was going to get electrocuted because there's all kinds of like electricity and zaps and stuff. But no, he turns everything into quicksand.
Yeah, they have mud problems instead. They start sinking into the dirt floor. And he tells them that none of them are worthy but Swan. And again, he's very rude to Butterfield, who actively right now is fighting Swan.
He's going to go fight Swan.
Butterfield just got his face burned off for you because Swan vomits up fire.
Yeah, he fucking blew fireballs onto his face. But yeah, that's happening. None of you are worthy. You all made the mistake. You stayed here like sheep waiting for me. But I am not your shepherd.
And once they stop having wet floor problems, they have dry floor problems where they all get stuck in the dirt. Yeah,
they're dirt statues now.
Yeah.
Anyway, here comes Harry.
Yeah, he's been here this whole time wandering around.
I found you. And then Nyx drops Dorothea in the hole. Mm-hmm. And he's like, fuck.
But he just grabs her. He keeps her from falling into the center of the earth, just barely.
Yes. Yeah, because the hole goes all the way down to lava.
Yep. Yep. And so while he's resting her up out of the hole, Swan finally shows up. And Nyx is like, hey, man, I knew it was you. I knew you'd be here.
Yeah, I couldn't have got out of a grave without you involved.
Without my bestie. Nyx does say, I was born to murder the world.
Yeah. And
you help me do it?
He says, you can still help me if you want. It's like, why would I want that?
Except he keeps saying yes. He's just like, yeah. I think I will. And he's like, now, Swan, you know at the end when we're done, I'm gonna have to kill you. That's just the way it works.
I told you that since the very beginning. And you knew and you agreed. And now you're here.
Yay. He's like, yeah, I do. But unfortunately for Swan, I guess, like Harry fucking pulls Dorothea out of the hole and Swan's like, oh, good. And Nyx is like, oh, my fucking God. Do you still care about that lady? Jesus Christ. And he literally yells, "When will you learn?" and throws him against a wall and, like,
breaks his bones
and explodes his brain.
Yeah. He's like, "She's just flesh. Yeah. Will you never learn?" So I guess we're not going to be friends till the end.
No.
Also, fucking Butterfield is still around his burned up, bubbling side of his face. He punches a wall and then he finally gets electrocuted. Somebody finally gets electrocuted. Yeah.
He just happens to stab the, like, it's not like Harry tricked him into stabbing a circuit breaker or whatever. He just got unlucky.
Yeah.
And cooks even more than he already did. His head. R.I.P. Butterfield. You deserved better, you evil little man.
Yeah. So, I mean, Nick's one actual friend. It's like, he's your best friend, but you're not his best friend. Mm-hmm. Butterfield has cooked. You just broke all Swan's bones. I guess we're not going to be friends to the end. Harry and Dorothea are still around here, and they're still trying to stop you. So you got to get your little fingies. Mm-hmm. In Harry's skull.
Yeah, he sticks him right in there.
Yeah.
He knows Harry's name. He knows that the darkness has been waiting for Harry. Please don't forget about the darkness.
Remember the darkness?
You know, I wish the screenplay remembered the darkness.
Do you believe in a thing called love?
I believe this is also the point where Nyx is like, "Swan and I were supposed to keep each other company in the dark when the world was dead."
Yeah.
And I'm like, maybe then you shouldn't have exploded his brain, you know?
Well, I got mad. I got mad because he left me for a child and then married her.
We're both fucked up, honestly. But yeah, he gives Harry the bad skin thoughts.
Yeah.
The meat thoughts.
Split apart, full of goo thoughts.
Mm-hmm. But he fights it long enough. Dorothy also goes and gets a gun. She briefly gets attacked by a dirt man.
Yeah, Dorothy's number one trick is, while everyone else is distracted and having some big supernatural fight, you could go grab a weapon.
Yeah. She's smart, honestly. This is a good idea. Yeah, she, like, Harry is freaking out because she just looks like meat, but she gives him a kiss and he taps himself on the forehead and she shoots Nyx in the pineal gland.
Yeah, right in his head hole.
That doesn't kill him still.
No, but it does sort of decrease the bad visions.
Yes.
That Harry is having. She goes back to being a person.
Yeah, her face knits back together and he's like, "Oh, thank God." That was too scary.
But yeah, Nyx is still grandstanding over there. He's like, "I have time for one last delusion."
Right. At this point, he also says, "The grave is lonely, but living is worse.
Birth's a curse, and existence is a prison."
And she's like, "What?" And Dorothea, rightfully, after shooting him in the fucking brain pan, is like, "What are you?" And he's like, "A man who wanted to be a god, but changed his mind."
Yeah. Now I'm rooting out, like, an old potato.
And he's like, "Now I'm gonna be shit." I believe he literally says he's gonna be shit, and he's gonna ruin the world that way. And then, yeah, all these, like, little inflatables come out of his arms. How are they gonna get out of this one? Good news, Swan isn't dead.
Yeah, he's also still alive, just very busted up.
Yeah, just barely. And then weird news... Harry's like, "Throw me at that guy."
Yeah, Harry's
levitate me and throw me.
Float me. Like, gesturing. Like,
yeah. Stage. Remember, like, the car?
Me.
I'll smush him. No, you won't. He's bigger than you.
Yeah, he flies Harry over to Nyx, and Nyx, like, grabs onto his head from above and sort of rips his head in half.
Yeah, Harry just, like, smooshes his hand in that skull. Throws him in the hole. We watch this skeleton fall to hell.
So far. He falls all the way to the magma.
Yep.
And that's probably the end, right?
Like, oh, absolutely.
Nothing else could happen.
Wait! A deadite comes fucking flying up out of that hole. The deadite cam is here, mm-hmm. whipping around.
Blasts out.
Yeah, Swan, I think, officially dies.
Yeah, he gets disintegrated.
Right, that's
turned
right.
Turned into a skeleton.
The fucking skeleton screams at him from hell, and Swan gets peeled, and then he's just a skeleton in a jacket. The deadite doesn't come to much. Harry and Dorothea get away.
No, yeah, there was like an explosion, and I expected when we cut to the outside to see the building like on fire or exploded. No, it's just a little explosion.
No, yeah, it's just a little hell burp on the or whatever. Outside.
But yeah, the hole closes itself up. Hell is sealed up. Good.
Yep.
And yeah, Harry and Dorothea walk away.
Yeah, we hear some more like repeated voiceover. Yeah,
flesh is a trap, and magic sets us free.
The end.
The end.
Rose, what did you think of Lord of Illusions?
I had a good time with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, missed LA so much, so it's good to see it again. It is both messy and sloppy. Mm-hmm. Like, messy from, like, a narrative point of view. Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on? There's a lot of ideas. Who are all these people? What is all of their problems? And then also sloppy in a super sloppy double dare kind of way of gooey and gross and fun. There's some real gross guys in it.
It's true.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think this is a good time. I don't think it's the most coherent time.
Ooh.
And I do not think it is based on a book, but it feels like it was.
It's based on an original story by Clive Barker.
Mm-hmm.
It's very Clive Barker.
Yes.
Very horny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
Very gross.
His artistic vision shines through, which I think is all the really fun parts. But this definitely feels like, if you told me it was adapted from a book, I'd be like, that explains a lot about the number of characters and the sort of holes you sometimes get when you adapt a book. But yeah, it doesn't seem like it was directly. I love an occult detective man. He barely is one. That's the thing. Like, I love, you know, we fucking did Angel Heart a million years ago, and that guy also is not an occult detective. He's just a detective with occult problems.
But yeah, like, I mean, it's sort of weird to be like, okay, you're the occult detective. I see why. I guess that's sort of supposed to be the through line for why Valentin via Dorothea would reach out to this man in mm-hmm. particular. But also, he was there.
Yeah.
He was there at the psychic...
Yeah, it sort of feels like...
So that's why you would reach out to him. You don't need this occult background.
Right.
It's sort of more interesting one way or the other, I think. If he's like, full on, I'm Van mm-hmm. Helsing, I'm gonna like debunk this, or I'm gonna like go in on, I'm the occult expert, or I've never done an occult thing in my life, why the fuck is this happening?
Stop fucking telling me about magic. But oh shit, sort of oh fuck.
Takes the... less interesting middle ground.
Yeah, because, like, yeah, this seems like it was a choice made where we don't want the story to be about this guy realizing magic is real.
Yeah, he kind of already knows or should know or have some inkling that magic is real.
Yeah. And instead it sort of swaps in this thin thread about the darkness and him, but he doesn't do... a single fucking dark thing in this movie.
No, he's a good guy.
Yeah. And so I wish that they had done more with that, I guess. Like, he's gotta do blood magic or something at the end. Like, he can't just be like, throw me at that guy. He's gotta do something nasty.
He ripped his head open.
He did do that. But Nyx does suck.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what he does do, Kelly?
What?
He's hot as shit. He wears good outfits.
Mm-hmm. The outfits are good. Mom, he's shirtless multiple times.
Yeah. This one's for you, Karen.
This one is for Mom.
I gotta be on your side here. It's hot. He's hot.
Yeah.
Really hot in this. He's like peak hot Scott Bakula.
Yeah. Yeah, this is one of the peaks, absolutely. So this is fun. I think the finale is really fun. I didn't remember that much about this movie. I remembered that the death was faked, mm-hmm. and the car floating and the dirt people.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I feel like you could see the fake magician death a mile away. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder.
I feel like the gap was long enough that I at home was like, am I thinking of a different thing where a guy faked his death? And it's like, no, he's made of sawdust.
Are there like 100 of this guys? Because the sword machine was actually some kind of duplication portal.
Yeah. Dude, you can do real magic. You don't need the Tesla duplication portal. Stop sorting yourself every night.
What if Hugh Jackman had to sword himself every night?
I feel like he'd be less inclined to do it, because at that point in that movie, Michael Caine would have had to be like, getting sworded to death is a really gentle death. Doesn't hurt at all.
Yeah. Yeah, the prestige is when you're still alive after getting sworded to death.
Not many magicians can do it. Yeah, this is a fun movie. I feel like a thing that links all of the Clive Barker movies is that they're not necessarily the most coherent pictures, but I think they do have like a lot going on in a fun way.
Yeah. That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I like that every time we're presented with modern magicians in movies, or almost every time they are doing some kind of mind freak,
mm-hmm.
you can't just make the moon disappear.
No.
You have to have people in thongs and giant demon set pieces, mm-hmm. and... stuff like that. It's very fun.
I mean, it'd be very funny if one of them was real David Copperfield-y and that he had a little robot alien that he did a show with. And no one knew because he seemed mostly normal.
Yeah, made me think of Peter Vincent.
Of course.
Also.
Yeah.
My number one...
fictional magician.
Freak magician.
I mean, he's a good one. This is the remakes Peter Vincent, of course, who is Chris Angeling all over the place.
Do any magic?
No, you're right. The other guy was not a magician. He was just a TV man.
The song over the credits was insane.
Yeah.
It's like, I was sort of like making some notes, like what were my thoughts, and then like sort of perked back into paying attention to like, what? Are we doing
the dancing in the dark song or whatever?
Yeah, we're like screaming, gurgling mm-hmm. here on the soundtrack.
Yeah, I was like, does something happen after the credits that I forgot about? Like, we come back, he's fucking choking on blood or something.
We're just popping off on the second credits song for some reason. One that's not even eligible for an Oscar.
Oscar-nominated film, Lord of Illusions.
Absolutely not.
No, but the special effects were good.
They were fun.
Yeah.
I liked the brain guy.
Brain guy was real good. Exploding at the end, real good. Computer effect, very funny.
Yeah. I liked the Magic Castle inner sanctum. Like, mm-hmm. that was a fun little room. Definitely full of booby traps.
Oh, yeah. You want to read a book? Get fucked.
Yeah, no. You need one of three keys and to not get murdered.
There was also just like a desktop computer in there.
Well, sometimes you have to steal or store your magic secrets in a database.
Yeah, sometimes the magic is digital.
You have to put your magician face on an egg.
So, of the three Clive Barker directed films, which are mm-hmm. Hellraiser, Nightbreed, and Lord of Illusions, Which one is your favorite?
I probably not Hellraiser.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Lord of Illusions.
Okay.
Though I liked Nightbreed more than I thought I would.
Yeah, I'd probably go Nightbreed just for the grand variety of all them monsters.
Yeah.
But I think it's, you know, I think these are pretty good. This is a pretty solid offering, I think.
Yeah.
I did sit there as I was watching it wondering if, like, Stephen King is mad. Because he just directed the one movie. And it's not very good.
Do Clive Barker on Blank Check.
He was in the bracket this year for Patreon. They're going to do commentaries for these and Candyman and Midnight Meat Train. But he did not win. He might have gone down against Andrew Lloyd Webber. But they should do Clive Barker. That'd be real fast.
Yeah.
Knock it out.
It's an easy one.
Yeah, do it in October.
Hell yeah.
They can't. They'll be doing David Lynch for months.
Forever. And ever and ever until we die.
Until we fucking die. Great.
Yeah. I think that's what I got about Lord of Illusions.
Mom, I'll watch it with you. Because I know if you hear this and you hear that he looks hot, you're going to want to see it.
He's so hot.
It'll be worth it. We'll have a good time.
Like, I think he's a good looking man, generally, but not like, you know, not like panting, awoogaying over him normally. Mm-hmm. He's very hot in this.
Yeah.
It's very hot.
Yeah. His little sunglasses. That's fun.
Yeah, I don't know. Space cowboy outfit's good.
Yeah, when they like zoom in on his boots or whatever.
Yeah, they're good boots.
They're good boots. Well, you know what? I said we'll tweet Butterfield's two slutty little outfits. Yeah. We'll get some Scott Bakula in there as well.
Fashion show on the Twitter.
Yeah, maybe we'll put in Billy, the helpful magician who's dressed like the devil, and that he's just wearing all red.
He also looks good.
Yeah.
Good for Billy. He doesn't get his hand bit off.
Yeah, Billy also gets to just live a life after this.
Gets to leave the movie after that.
Yeah, no magician like, kills him.
I did my part.
Mm-hmm. They never knew it was me who broke in and knocked a bunch of stuff down because I got scared of a zombie monster.
I don't know who shot your projector.
Damn, that was rude. That projector's expensive.
It's 1995.
Yeah, that's so much money. all right. Well, we don't have any emails, but if you'd like to email us, you can do so at horrorandahalf@gmail.com. That's horror and a half, all words, all lowercase, all smooshed together.
Yep. You can also get at us on Twitter for the aforementioned fashion show. Come talk with us, follow us for news and announcements. Come tell us who your favorite fictional magician is.
Oh yeah. Do that. Next time, we're going back to the movie theater.
Yeah, yeah.
We're gonna watch Abigail.
Yeah, yeah. Dan Stevens coming at ya.
Yes. Two Dan Stevenses in April.
Yeah, we also went to see Godzilla X Kong.
Yeah, not very good.
No.
But Dan Stevens was there.
We got punched in the butt.
Twice. And they spit in our face. Twice. Thank goodness for the 3D glasses to keep my real glasses free of, Monstar blood?
Yeah. Viscera.
Viscera. Gosh, if there were chunks they threw at you, can you even imagine? Like foam chunks?
Jello me.
Oh, what a disgusting theater that would be. Yuck.
Just make it, you know, unflavored, unsweetened jello.
Mm-hmm.
Gelatinous cubes for everyone.
Just getting flung.
Blah.
We gotta take so much time in between screenings to clean this up. Big broom.
Yeah. Can vegans go to the gelatinous cube 40X?
No, they can't. You could do, soap foam? Not the same texture, but...
Yeah. Well, that'd be like a cloud landing on you. Fly through a cloud and drop some fucking
They just drop like party a huge, in here. Yeah, a huge bucket of soap. And it's just like the opening credits when you people just fucking fly through clouds anyway to look at who directed the movie and who wrote it.
Yeah.
Splat.
Yeah.
My 5DX theater is losing money hand over fist. People are so mad at me.
I mean, thank God the effects weren't working when they pulled out King Kong's tooth.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to come in the theater.
Rip your tooth out.
Rip your tooth out.
Damn it. Will they be dressed like Dan Stevens?
Like, I just, it's a drill. I feel like there's a drill.
Yeah. What a stupid experience.
Deeply. But we will not be doing that.
No, we'll be seeing it in regular the number of X's.
Number of D's.
Yeah.
Till then, you've been booed, treat.
In that movie, in 4DX, someone comes in and bites you when someone gets bit on screen.
It's tough to be a bug.
It is tough to be a bug.